one man saying that is fine. If that's your opinion and you're not in it, that's fine. But there is an entire market of millions and billions of people that agree that it is a store of value. So, you know, you can think one thing, but there's also a market, and markets tend to become efficient over time.
We do know that you will always get paid in HEX on a daily basis. And that is truly the miracle that we call HEX, because it is trustless interest, trustless yield. Nothing will stop that contract from running.
You're muted.
What is up? Welcome into the Creed of Crypto live stream. I am no longer muted, but I am Broke Boy Crypto. I have here with me as well my friend and co-host Crypto Ewok. We have a big show for you tonight. And as you can see in the thumbnail, if you are here with us on YouTube, bull vibes for sure. We have had an amazing week in this real DeFi pulse chain ecosystem with prices just popping off everywhere left and right. We're in the midst of a pullback right now, which kind of seems to be the MO for when we go on the air. That's just kind of, you know, we're the curse, as it were. But we got a lot of great stuff to get to tonight. It is just, this past week has just felt so good. We've obviously had clarity with Richard Hart coming out and announcing his plans with his army of 11 crypto lawyers taking on the SEC. There's a response there from the SEC today, which is kind of just a nothing burger. And just a lot of great stuff going on. We have a live stream last week on Matty Allen's channel for the end of the HEX conference, which sets the Guinness Book of World Records largest on-air stream ever that Ewok and I took part in. We'll talk about that tonight. Just so many really great things happening right now for this ecosystem for real DeFi principles. So we are happy to have all of you guys along with us. Welcome in to the chat. We want to hear from you guys tonight. So hit us up with questions, comments, anything you want to talk about. Hit us up with it. Smash the like button if you're getting your way in here now. We really appreciate it. But tell the algorithm that you guys appreciate real DeFi and this pulse chain ecosystem. So I am fired up. How about you, Ewok? How are you feeling about everything right now?
Fired up. Loving the green candles. Loving the sentiment. Everything's good. Yeah, we get a little pullback. I think that's healthy. It's okay after the run that we've had. It's not going to hurt anything. So it is definitely healthy to get, you know, a couple pullbacks and maybe chop around just a hair, long as we can use that sacrifice rate on Pulse Chain. If we can use that now as resistance, I think that's where we need to be. So I'm liking it. I think it's all looking healthy. Everything's looking good. No reason to not be bullish.
I agree 100%. Yeah, that's what we're going to get into in a moment is like, will we get back to the SAC rate? Will that be our kind of new level of support here? I mean, you were right. We had a great debate on the show last week where you said, oh, yeah, I think we're going to blow right through it. And I said, no, I think we'll spend a couple of weeks just kind of oscillating there. And yeah, I think we spent a few hours basically there. So that's really been it so far. There's a lot of money coming in to this chain right now. And last I looked earlier today, I think Mr. Coffee shared it on Twitter, but I think Pulse Chain was up to sixth again or so in on-chain volume across crypto, basically. So we are back up there. We've seen $120 million are in the process of getting through the bridge. Mm-hmm. We may or may not have the brothers Cardone getting into this ecosystem. We don't know. We'll probably talk about that a little bit tonight. But first, real quick, just to give everybody some blue balls, talking about BTC and ETH just for a moment, because and we're going to have a unique angle on it here, and we have a lot to get into tonight. So again, anything you guys want to talk about, hit us up. But BTC, I'm not so much concerned with like what it's been doing, because it has made a little bit of a pullback from where it was last week. Huge. So, I mean, we already forget the ETF approval last week. I know the rest of crypto Twitter is probably still going on about that, but, and we will get into a bit of the SEC's, shenanigans as far as that whole thing went down. But we did kind of see a sell the news event. I mean, we did get below, I think, did it get down to like 39K or was that a fever dream I made up? I can't remember.
Yeah, it didn't get below 41, but you know, it was up to almost 49. So, you know, that's still a healthy pullback.
It was definitely a healthy pullback. And what I was really interested in looking at right now, we have BTC at about 43K, ETH at 2,600. But the more important thing right now to our ecosystem and for most people in crypto that understand that, you know, the bigger gains to be had right now are obviously in the altcoin space, is looking at BTC dominance, because we have started to see that come down lately, you know, much to the chagrin of people like Benjamin Cohen and stuff like that on Twitter. But it has been coming down, and, you know, we may be on the run or on the verge of one of these patented alt seasons here. Of course, certainly we already have been within the Pulse Chain ecosystem. But yeah, take a look at this. I mean, we are coming back down to retest a key area there, it looks like. What do you make of this? Because, yeah, I mean, as we get into the Bitcoin halving, we're sitting here in mid-January. We've got until May until that takes place. Oh, sorry, Bitcoin halving. Somebody corrected me on that the other day. We all do say halving. I don't know where it came from, but it is what it is.
I think it just sounds better.
It does sound better. Yeah, it sounds like a South Park episode or something like that, the halving. But, yeah, we've come down here, and where do we go? I mean, like, do you think the Bitcoin dominance stays right around here, and we just see the alts start to run? Do you think it dips anymore? Because it definitely looks like this is a level of kind of support for BTC dominance here.
Yeah, I think that's critical. And I think that's kind of how we have to watch this chart. If you're paying attention to it, you know, 42 days, it looks like we've come down 7.78% from, you know, 55% dominance down to, you know, right now it's sitting at 51. And like you said, this is a key level here, because, you know, you see a lot of it. If you go back in the chart, there's a lot of things that kind of happened at this level, you know, straight across. So it kind of lets us know. Now, I don't know that it's really been down, you know, back here. Obviously it was down a ways, only 43% back in February, but, I kind of think we can get back into this range, maybe from, you know, between 50 and 40. And that's still kind of healthy for both markets. You know, the ETF, we'll see what happens. You know, there's always a pretty good sell-off, even with the having. Even when that happens, as it rallies. So people kind of, you know, hop in and out of things, maybe not always the best to do, but it's just kind of usual behavior at this time of the cycle. So, you know, I think we chop around in here a little bit. I honestly think it breaks a little bit lower. And like I said, I think we could kind of come down into this level between 50 and 47 ish. Hang out for a while before it really starts to take off. After that, as we see a bigger rise. Now, will the ETF play a part in that? Well, you know, it's all suspect at this point, because we don't really know. Are they fractionalizing it? Will they have to have a one-to-one backup that they're holding? You know, I think there's a lot of questions unanswered that I don't know. I'm sure somebody out there knows. But, you know, we always worry about what happens when ETFs kick in. You look at the same thing happened with gold. So it's definitely going to be an interesting year for Bitcoin. And I think, you know, a lot of people, there's the ones out there that think it's just going to run and they're calling for these crazy numbers, which they do every cycle. And then there's the realists that are saying, you know what, you get a 2x, maybe 3 out of it. And I think people want bigger gains than that. So it's going to be interesting for sure. But I think we kind of hang out in this lower area here for a bit.
I think so too. And it is kind of comical that the BTC dominance really started to go down right around this ETF announcement too, which everybody was so excited about. And now we are actually seeing altcoins start to run here by the looks of it, most of them. And, you know, that might sound weird to some people, because, you know, we have already seen Solana run really hard in this market, you know, before we've even gotten to the halving and everything. But I think we are going to see a lot of other stuff go on here with other altcoins. I mean, again, we're seeing it in our ecosystem for many different reasons, really. But yeah, it will be interesting to see where BTC dominance goes. Speaking of our ecosystem and looking at real DeFi, Pulse Chain, we'll check some of the prices there right now. Again, it's been an insane week of gains. Now, we are seeing a bit of a pullback right now. Some people are assigning the narrative of like, oh, yeah, there was a response by the SEC to the motion to dismiss that was filed by Richard's attorneys or whatever. I mean, we were going to see a correction here at some point. Like, we just had an insane run up over the last week. It only makes sense that there was going to be a little bit of a pullback at the very least. So what we're seeing right now is Pulse is, man, I keep getting ready to say the discount of the SAC rate. We don't have to say that anymore. So over SAC rate. So it 30117 right now. Pulse X right now, it pulled back the most here over the last couple of hours, also because it ran up so much, but it's still at about 68% down from SAC rate, but it has been up to half off of SAC rate here over the last couple of days. And then the combined hexes, we are sitting at about 2.7, 2.8 cents. It's been up over 3 cents over the last couple of days. So yeah, what do you make of this pullback? I mean, again, I know people are going to assign some kind of news to it, but regardless of any kind of news, I think we were going to see something like this, you know, at some point. So what do you make of that Ewok and, whichever chart you want to start with, if you want to look at just Pulse, whatever you want to start with here. So, you're muted or I can't hear you anyway.
Yeah, I was muted. Sorry about that. I had the, deck screener up there, but we're going to use the Go Pulse for now.
Sure.
Till we get into some of the other stuff. Now, if you look at this, though, I mean, if you look at the weekly, we're still up 37% on Pulse. Right. We're still up 58% Pulse X. And overall, well, anyway, Hex is 9.7%, but the biggest one is incentive token, you know, strangely yeah. enough. You know, and then if you pull out to the 30-day chart, you know, these are all, most of them, well, a couple of them are triple digit. You know, you're looking at almost 100% for Pulse, and you're looking at 223% for incentive. So
right,
pretty crazy. I think it's, I think what we can make of that is maybe priming that up a little bit to incentivize people to add some liquidity, you know, play around with the farms, get it going, nice and juicy returns. I think people are starting to hold it. And I think those who just dumped it the whole time are going to be kicking themselves. And, you know, it's hard. It's now, you know, I did have some that I switched into other things. So I didn't just necessarily dump it. You know, but I did use it for some good opportunities to DCA and to some of the things that I wanted. So, but overall, yeah, you nailed it. It is definitely healthy. We're going to look at the Pulse chart here, and we'll go with the daily candle. But yeah, I mean, it is looking good. You know, you've got a couple different levels here that are even above. So, you know, you go 30102 maybe. If we can hold above that level, you know, that's a good support chop around even just a little bit. But I really don't think it will take too much. I think some of this is the news of the reply. Well, it's not going to get dismissed. Well, that's not official yet. All that was the SEC's reply to the judge. The judge still gets the final say whether this continues or if they've made enough of a case to drop it. So I think this is just kind of a knee-jerk reaction to that a little bit.
Well, plus, if it is, you know, people must not even realize that the thing that was filed by Richard's attorneys wasn't even the actual motion to dismiss. So that wasn't even something that was going to happen right now.
Right. Anyway, so. Yep. There's a lot of speculation out there regarding it. You know, we're not lawyers. If you really want to get the best information, I still suggest Nuclear Herbs is the one to follow to get your information from. He seems like he's pretty much been the most level-headed about all of it. So
yeah, he's a man.
So, but yeah, I mean, it's healthy. I think it looks good. I think we're, you know, again, you only want to run so much before you get a little bit of a correction. You know, we'll see how this plays out here because, you know, when it ran up and we got up to like the four zeros and an eight before we chopped the head off of that last zero, you know, there were two candles, two daily candles of pullback, and then we took off again. So let's see, you know, this will be our second daily candle. And if we get I could see one more before it goes green again. But two or three candles is usually sufficient on a run. Now, with these percentages, though, you know, you don't want to get too far too fast because then there's not a whole lot to stop it when it does decide to come back down. So,
right. You know,
that's the big reason why we do want some healthy pullbacks is so that it does have a little bit of resistance to go through at certain levels. So just my take on it. You know, that's,
I agree. It's healthy and normal. Yeah. That's exactly what you want to see. Let's take a look at Paul Sacks. Now Paul Sacks is a really interesting case because, you know, much has been made the ratio, which maybe after this, we could pull up the actual pulse. Well, actually, I mean, it's one click of a button, but just look at pulse X versus pulse, because we've seen that ratio really narrow here. Like, I mean, for a long time, there you go. This will be the pulse X to pulse chart. So for a long time, we've been in that kind of like 1 to 3.5 zone, 1 to 3 maybe. But now, I mean, lately it's been 1 to 2.5 or even less than that.
Yeah.
So yeah, there you go. You can see how much it's run up against pulse. What do you make of that? Because I just DM'd you today. I was like, man, my Pulse X holdings are starting to take over my portfolio here because it's just gotten so kind of imbalanced and out of whack. And is this indicative of something that people have speculated about a lot with Pulse X? So like, because of the buy and burn and stuff like that, when it's dead and on the ground, people are just like, oh, whatever, who gives a shit about this thing? Yeah. But whenever they start to pump, it goes hard because it did.
Well, they're all liquidity tied, right? Remember, everything's bonded. And when things go, they go. And the ones that are the lowest will take off the biggest. That's just one of the things that you have to remember with liquidity bonding and everything like that, how the ratios can change a little bit. When we were talking about this, you know, this afternoon, I mentioned that, you know, having a liquidity position between these two tokens, for me, is one of the only things that I'll really play with as far as providing liquidity, because I really don't care which one I end up with more of. You know, you're going to have impermanent loss on one side or another, depending on how that ratio changes from where you entered the position. You know, and the only real, I would say, downfall for me with liquidity providing is when you do it with a stable coin. You know, the last thing you want to do is end up with more of a stable coin than you have of the coin that's running away from you. And it hurts. It hurts really bad. But,
yeah,
you know, it's one of the reasons why I decided that I would provide liquidity for this pair, earn a little bit of incentive along the way. It's not the greatest rate of return, but for me, it's the safest. And, you know, I don't care which one I end up with, because I know they're both tied so closely together that, you know, they're going to flip back and forth between the two. It should stay pretty close. I think it will still always, because of the amount sacrificed, I think they'll always stay pretty close to that 1-to-3 ratio.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, just simply because of the mathematics of how much, you know, how much more sacrifice for Pulse X.
Exactly.
But it's really great to see it really go hard as we go up here. Do you want to just check? I guess we can check both hexes too, because I am interested. We can do regular hex on Pulse Chain first, but I am interested to see eHex too and how it's kind of performed here. But we've seen that ratio, tighten a little bit again. And again, we saw the combined hexes go over 3 cents. So how are we looking here? So this is just regular hex on Pulse Chain.
Yeah, it's looking good too. I mean, so, you know, you're seeing a lot of similarities.
Looks just like the pulse chart. Yeah,
it does. It does. And we go back to the liquidity bonding again, you know, being so tied together so closely. So, you know, I think you're going to get a little bit of a different picture. Let's look at this one.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, this one looks a little different.
A little bit.
You know, you have a pullback here where you didn't have it on this one We're still on the daily chart. Yeah, it's looking good. It's creating a nice little bull flag here. You know, and if you measure this movement from here to here, once this finishes out, you could get that size movement, which would put you probably
a couple cents.
Yeah, probably 2 cents ish. Yeah. Close to it. So, you know,
I think our friend Axis has been talking about that for quite a while now, actually.
Yeah. He has. And, you know, a lot of people are coming around to it. You know, there's still people in the camp that don't want to talk about HEX on the Ethereum side because of the gas. But there are people out there that are Ethereum whales that don't care about gas. And it is closer to the on and off ramps. So, you know, there's going to be plenty of action over here as well. I would not pick a side. I don't think we're going to have a loser on either side.
I'm with you 100%. It's uncanny because that does look like the pulse in the other HEX chart as well. But you're right here. I think we definitely will see some consolidation around a penny here for that, just because we have a lot of history there. That was obviously a big sticking point in HEX's history a few years ago. Yep. So it being back at a penny is definitely really cool and bullish. And yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of room up above there, or there is a lot of room, I should say.
Well, we hit it back here in October too. So, you know, this was pretty hefty resistance, which we're running into again. Mm. So it's being a penny, you know, just over a penny. It's that mental number. For some reason you have those, you know, you get a penny and a nickel and 10 cents and then a quarter. And, you know, they're mental levels that people have in their mind where they're going to, maybe either take profit or make a move or try something different. And, you know, that's why it acts that way around those certain areas.
Right. Yeah. Looking good. Tell you what, so we're getting a lot of action in the chat about like different tokens here. We wanted to bring up let's do this before we do that, because I'm seeing Marco talk about Icosa a lot. And I know a lot of people have been talking about Icosa and or Hedron, including us, over the last couple of weeks. I know I didn't mention it, but can you pull up Icosa on Pulse Chain for us to take a look real quick? Because it has been, we had an interesting comment on a video I saw earlier today where somebody, it just shows how, and I'm not criticizing the person, but how easily we can get short-sighted when it comes to crypto, because things go so fast. And before you know it, you're looking at like these really tight windows of price. But he was saying, how come Icosa is not like moving up with the rest of everything? And I was like, dude, don't you remember like a week and a half ago when it did like a 5X? You know, before all of this happened, I mean, Icosa ran from like 3 cents, and I know because I luckily did buy right there, but it ran from 3 cents up to 15 cents pretty much all before the rest of this thing pumped. So
it's, you want to look at it on Pulse Chain or on Ethereum?
Pulse Chain, if you could. I mean, we could do both, but Pulse Chain is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But it just ran so hard already, you know, that, you know, it having a pullback right now and coming down to, I think it was about 12 cents the last I looked. Yeah, there you go.
You see it?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, this made this is definitely a very nice U-shaped pattern here that's playing out. You know, obviously this level was resistance back here too. So,
yep.
You know, that's why it's important as well. But yeah, it's having a little pullback, but I mean, come on. That's a pretty healthy chart.
Yeah.
With a couple of pullbacks mixed in between. Yeah, that's looking pretty good.
Yeah, it's, you go back to...
It's doing very similar pattern to the HEX chart. It's just a little bit different, but you see the bull flag here as well. Only because it's tied so very closely to HEX and the way it runs. Now, this is the Icosa HEX pair, so...
Well, that's Icosa to USD right now, but if you click on HEX up there, it'll change it to actually showing it. There you go. Now it's showing it against HEX. So if you zoom out on this.
Gotcha.
This is how you can see. I mean, this is still a good opportunity against HEX. Like if you look at it in that ratio form rather than USD form, USD form, it's like, oh shit, it just pumped a whole bunch. Should I buy right now? But if you look at it again, if you want to go back against HEX, I mean, it's kind of even to where it was. You know, a little over a week ago. So it's still an opportunity there.
Yeah, you're getting 6.4. Well, it looks like 6.4 HEX per Icosa. So
yeah. Yeah, it's definitely still an opportunity. I mean, I think even though it's run up, I understand people's hesitance to get in it. But this, you said this to me the other day. I think all this is kind of just the beginning, you know. And I think people FOMOing right now, I understand it. I mean, yeah, ideally you would have been buying the whole way through the bear market, maybe even did. But for people FOMOing right now, it's still early enough where it's not like that'll kill you or anything like that. I mean, you're definitely still. Yeah, it's sitting at 11 cents right now. And then Icosa on ETH is, where are we at here? About 6.5 cents. So, yeah, they've both run up very, very well and looking really good. So, Marco, yeah, I'm still buying. So, yeah.
It's one of the tighter pairs, too, when you look at both. Like when you look at it on Pulse Chain and you look at it on Ethereum, it's one of the tighter pairs to parity anyway.
Yes.
So
yeah. Yep. Pretty makes cool. A lot of sense. I'm definitely still interested in it. Let's look at a couple because, you know, some people that, again, we just mentioned, like if you weren't buying all through the bear market, which if you weren't, I mean, what were you doing? But if you're here now and you're trying to buy, good on you either way. There are ways to get leverage on this ecosystem by buying things other than just the main tokens. Now, I think there's still tons of opportunity in Pulse Chain, Pulse X, and all this stuff. Obviously, we both think that. But there are two meme tokens on Pulse Chain that look like they're being taken rather seriously. One of which is, I don't know if it'd be offended by me calling it a meme, but it is, I guess. But HOA, I mean, they've been doing just amazing stuff. The Hex origin address. I still haven't gotten a position in this thing because it has been just constantly at new all-time highs. And I've been waiting for some kind of a pullback. And it's been running so hard against Pulse Chain that I just didn't. Yeah, there you go. Didn't really dip into it. But yeah, what do you make of this crazy HOA chart? I think you said you did grab some at some point. I don't know when, but yeah.
Yeah, I got some back down in here somewhere. Just a little bit. It was like, I don't know, $100 or so. Just to throw at the wall, because I do appreciate those guys and the work that they put in. You know, it leads me to a point that I wanted to make anyway, was how this subset of Pulsekin, Hexekin, whatever you want to call it, our subsets are bigger than some of the other entire crypto communities combined.
Yeah.
Just subsets of this community. So, you know, you've got the teddy bear and you've got the HOA, the orange gang, the Tang gang, or the, you know, it's just fun. They make a lot of memes. They're cool. You know, there's some guys behind it that are really, you know, all about it. They've paired it with a lot of other things. So you're seeing the results of the liquidity bonding again, tied with some cool things that are going up. And yeah, I mean, you know, if you're looking for a pullback, you're getting one. So I don't know how far this one will go, but you know, it's sitting at 3 cents right now. So it's, you know, it's just a fun meme community if you're into that type of thing. You know, normally I don't push memes, but we're getting to the point of the bull market where you could throw a dart pretty much. And as long as it's not a rug pull, you're going to do okay, right? You know, we still stick to our cores and stand behind saying that if you're going to throw some money at this, don't exit another position because you may kick yourself. Put some fresh liquidity or, you know, some fresh powder in there and, you know, throw a dart at the wall and see what sticks. But again, I highly recommend against selling anything to get into a meme token. They do run hard, but there's also the extra chance that, you know, a rug pull could exist if you pick the wrong thing. Not saying this will. The only reason we're bringing it up is because of the guys that are behind it. You know, they've done a lot for the community and they support it by doing memes. So yeah, looking good, looking strong.
Real quick. Do me a favor. Could you hit the button against Pulse? Because I'm interested in the ratio, like how if it's pulled back against Pulse. Yeah, okay. So it started to go back against Pulse too. So yeah, that's good. Looks like there should be maybe some more room to correct here a little bit. So I'm going to keep monitoring that so I can hopefully get a position here over the next couple weeks. But yeah, looks like it is pulling back a bit. So looking good there. And the one other one I wanted to see is obviously Teddy Bear. Where would we be without Teddy Bear? B-Roots making it happen. Let's see what we got here. I know that it didn't run super hard on this big run up there. So yeah, let's see here. So okay, yeah. So this is just today then coming way back. Which looks normal. I mean, that's pretty much what it should have done, probably after this run up. So
yeah, and this one has 7 zeros, so we're not sitting at 3 cents. Yeah. This one's
right.
You know, get yourself a billion of them for pretty cheap, probably.
Yes. Yeah, you can become a billionaire holder of Teddy Bear very easily if you wanted to. And look at that against Pulse 2, because I imagine that it's starting to look... Yeah, yes. Okay, so it's back to... This is right where I bought, basically, I think, with this ratio right around here, where we're sitting right now. So it's kind of just dropped into that level. I don't think we probably see it go too much lower than this as far as this ratio. But to me, that's kind of like a good spot to get in on it against Pulse. And I'm with you 100%. You said something really good, and I know it's going to be tempting for people to sell out of their main bags if they have Pulse or Pulse X or something
like
that. Please
don't do that.
I would definitely not do that, because you know, you're then also giving up whatever your cost basis was for that original trade by whenever you bought into those tokens, and that's like your gold. You don't want to get rid of that stuff right now. So,
many people work so hard to DCA during the times that, you know, it's so hard to push that buy button. And, you know, we talk about it a lot, but the harder it is to push the buy, the better it probably is long term. Definitely don't lose out on that. If you're going to play around with this stuff, throw a little bit at it, but use fresh capital to do it.
Yeah, 100%. Well, that stuff's all looking good. I mean, it's been a fantastic week in this ecosystem. I mean, it's not a surprise that all the charts look really damn good. And as we're sitting here right now, this has just happened over the last couple hours, but maybe we might be getting some support for Pulse right around that 12 number here, because that was a number that it was taking a whole day to try to get through. So we'll see if maybe we just sit around there for a little bit, but that's about where we are right now.
Yeah.
So if you guys are here and enjoying the show so far, do us a favor, smash the like. Support Real DeFi, support Pulse Chain. We do this show, The Creative Crypto, every single Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I don't want to talk about this too much. I imagine you don't want to either, Ewok, but it was eventful last week, and we probably should just acknowledge a couple small parts of it. So the SEC did finally, for real, actually, approve the BTC spot ETF. I guess it was like one day after their whole account hack thing that they now are being investigated by the FBI for. So that's interesting if it's real. Immediately after ETH and all the alts started pumping, BTC went down, which is pretty funny. We kind of already talked about that. And then after the passing of these ETFs, Gensler had to make sure that he came out and condemned the Bitcoin itself, but that they fully support the ETF. So he had to leave that little backhanded compliment there at the end, not even really a compliment. No. Most intriguing, though, was, and she's been like this for a while, but Hester Pierce, who's on the SEC panel or whatever you want to call them, group, cabal of people, five or six people or whatever, she went off on the SEC and Gensler specifically after they botched this whole goddamn process for so long. Just real quick, she said specifically, today marks the end of an unnecessary but consequential saga for reasons I've explained many times before. The logic of the long string of denials is perplexing. Predicting approval timelines for spot BTC ETFs was impossible because the review process for these filings did not resemble the fairly straightforward processes for approving comparable ETPs. The goalpost kept moving as the commission slapped denied on application after application, she said. It's driven retail investors to less efficient means of attaining Bitcoin exposure in the securities markets. And she said that rather than admitting error, the SEC offers a weak explanation for its change of heart. We squandered a decade worth of opportunities to do our job, she wrote. If we had applied the standard we use for other commodity-based ETPs, we would have approved these products years ago, but we refused to do so until a court called our bluff. So she's not mincing any words. What do you make of this whole process? How much Gensler fucked it up? And yeah, Hester's fierce reply here. What do you make of all that?
Well, I think it was her way of saying, stop messing around. You're messing with the markets. Essentially, that's what they were doing the whole time. Every time there was a thought of approval, price would go up a little bit, and then they would say denied, and it would pull back. So I think that's kind of what she's getting at. After all of the back and forth, there was definite manipulation going on behind the scenes, whether it was them allowing those guys to get a better position before approving it. Who knows why, you know, they don't always come out and say it exactly, but, you know, I think that's what it was all about. But I do see the Ethereum ETF coming, who knows when, but hopefully with her comments there that we won't see the back and forth and denials like we saw the last time. So.
I don't know. It all depends on when we get the Guzzler out of office. And I don't know if that's something that is going to be coming, you know, soon. Speaking of coming, I don't know if that is something that's going to be coming this year, you know, or after maybe we get a new president in office here, which has had some positive developments in the last couple of days. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what we'll see there, but certainly the way they've handled this, I mean, we can say it to our blue in the face. I mean, they're just a completely corrupt organization that really offers nothing in terms of progress. They simply just try to shake people down, as we are seeing firsthand right now, and stifle innovation. So it's nice that she sees that anyway.
Yep, for sure. You know, it's funny, they don't protect anybody. That's the reason that they were put into place, was to protect the average, you know, investor, consumer investor. And they've done very little of that, obviously, you know, letting things slide in right under their noses, like FTX. And, you know, it's just been a whole slap in the face to the whole industry that is trying to do things that are, you know, different, like, you know, like Hex. And once people see that, hopefully this case opens a lot of eyes to, you know, what they're doing and what the people that they're going after. I hope they get to see that side of Richard, at least. We'll see what happens with that.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people are really hoping that he is going to be the bastion of this, of crypto, basically, that just leads the charge against the SEC, exposes them for what they are, and really exposes crypto for what it is, and shows people that we're dealing with real stuff here, and you know, that it needs to be taken seriously, and that they have refused to do that. And I know we're kind of just already changing the subject now to his situation, but I mean, yeah, I mean, he specifically said himself last week on Twitter that that's what he's trying to do, and put the people on his back and move forward. And he certainly has the backing from many, many good attorneys to do so. You know, we were going to just touch base on this quick anyway, but I mean, we saw last week, like, just looking at the credentials of some of the attorneys that he has behind him, with his Quinn Emanuel Law Group. So basically they represented Elon Musk over his tweet a few years ago in 2018. I forget what his tweet was exactly, but it was the infamous one where he said something about Tesla stock, and you know, they came after him for it. Considered a market manipulation. And then to go with that, that Quinn Emanuel Law Group, this year were named the number one most feared law firm by the BTI Consulting Group in the country, actually, which is pretty cool. most feared law firms in litigation. BTI lists the country's most feared law firms based on more than 350 in-depth interviews with top legal decision makers from large companies. For the 2023 report, the in-house counsel named 46 firms they want to steer clear of when it comes to litigation. And once again, Quinn Emanuel topped the list of firms they do not want to face. Yeah, pretty cool. Interesting to hear that too. But yeah, what do you make of that? I mean, we don't have to get too far into it, but just the team that he's kind of assembled here, Richard has, against the SEC. It doesn't appear that he's pulled any punches, and he's been prepared for this for quite some time. And it's a great mix of individuals too. I mean, Money Gang Crypto made a great thread with like pictures and bios of every single attorney. And, you know, you've got your middle-aged white guy, you've got your young chick, you've got all kinds of different people in there. So, yeah, what do you make of this just group that he's assembled of freedom fighters here?
It's like he's building his own fantasy football team. I think.
Yeah.
He's got 11, right?
And there's 11. Right.
So it's a perfect team.
Yeah.
He's got the all-stars. I think, looking at some of these guys' backgrounds, he's definitely assembled the dream team to hopefully, go down in history for this fight. I hope there's no settlement. I hope there is a clear answer to it and a victory. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. You're talking about this Quinn guy. They've been the most, it's not like they just got the most feared thing once. They've done it like 3 out of the last 4 years or something like that. So, they've definitely been a feared law firm. So, I don't think, the SEC, I don't think they're afraid of people. They may be outpowered, but they can make things delay and delay and delay and try and hurt you financially. That's what they do, right? They delay things, draw it out forever, and hope that they hurt you financially that way while you try to fight it, especially when they're outgunned. And I think, could see this going on a while. We'll see. I hope these guys, make it brief to the point and say, hey, let's go. Here's everything you got. Let's do it.
To the question from that Pulse player here. So he asked about the thoughts on the SEC response today. So we briefly touched on it, but it's really a nothing burger. I mean, like the RH's attorneys didn't actually file the official motion to dismiss yet. That was simply like a letter to the court saying that is what they are going to do and cited some of the reasons. The SEC just filed their response, which is basically just their kind of bullshit, like rewording of everything they've already said before.
Right.
And a motion is still going to be filed by RH's team, which is going to be way, way more in detail with their reasoning for it. I mean, what do you think? Do you think the SEC is just going to stop? They have nothing to lose. They only have anything to gain. It's like they're the plaintiff here. All they have to gain is $12 million of somebody else's money because they can't innovate anything and are just trying to shake somebody down. So they're not going to go away, but they're also not going to be able to hurt this ecosystem or anything like that. So
exactly.
No reason to worry. And again, we already talked about it with the prices. Don't worry about some stupid story like this. Like we were going to have this pullback. This has nothing to do with the fact that response was out there or anything. It's just, that was all to be expected. So this is all going to take a very long time. We're not going to see any kind of, real significant idea of anything that's going on till probably at least the fall, I don't think, in terms of like the motion actually going through or it not or whatever. So I wouldn't be concerned with any of this stuff. The green candles are already here and we're onboarding Gary and Grant Cardone supposedly. So I'm not too worried about it. What about you, Ewok? I mean, it's just not, I'm not even thinking about that stuff anymore, really.
Nope. It's the last thing on my mind. I would rather see the good things happening in the community, the new things being built. We have limit orders now. I don't know if you saw that or not, but
on what? What do you mean?
The Tetra.
I did not see that.
They are live. David Feeder had posted about it earlier today. I haven't got a chance to play around with it.
Okay.
But it is omnis.tetra. Wait, I had it written down here.
Yeah, I know I've gone to their site before.
omnis.tetra.run/limit. And they say it's working well, so I want to see that they get all the bugs worked out of it. But they said it reminds them a lot of how Matcha used to be.
It does look like it.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right
now. Pretty cool.
In case anybody wants to check that out, Tetra has been talked about for quite some time. They have a lot of good products under one name there, and Omnis looks to be the actual DEX with limit orders now live. So I just went ahead and popped that in the chat. That is very cool.
Yeah.
Definitely
happy. Yeah, something we want to definitely spend some time on as we get further into this bull run on the proper way to exit without really hurting the price. If enough people do this, we could see a very extended bull run. But again, everybody has to kind of use it that way instead of the, immediate gratification by just clicking a button and having it take care of it.
Let's answer Patrick's question here. He says his, when we've talked about this before, but is buying ETH and transferring it over, bridging it over, the most cost efficient way to get to Paul's chain? So we've talked about this before, but what do you, what's your typical system you walk? And I think you've actually used Coast quite a few times, I believe, but what's your usual way of doing this?
Yeah. If you don't have Coast, though, I did read somewhere where you're going to get the best deal with DAI. If mm-hmm. you bridge,
I think it was Richard. It was Richard.
It was Richard, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I knew that's I heard weird. It somewhere.
So. Somewhere, yeah.
But yeah, I think buying DAI. Now you're still going to have a little bit of ETH to get it sent over. The bridge is, however, still free. So mm-hmm. you know, pick up some DAI, have a little bit of Ethereum for the bridge, and then once you're over there. There's some ways to get free. You know, GoPulse has that. They did change their faucet a little bit. They went from 100 pulse every hour to once a day. But 100 pulse can last you quite a while. Unless you're doing some major contract stuff, you know, staking, unstaking, things like that. It does take a little bit more. But I think that's the best way. We also did a little tutorial on how to buy wrapped pulse on Ethereum and just send that over. That way you're already set with your pulse and you can do whatever you want. Once you get there, it unwraps it for you and you're already set with pulse. So there's a couple different ways. As far as cost efficient, it really depends on the gas. I think the best way to do it. But there's a few options. And that's a couple of them.
Yep. A couple of ways to do it. But yeah, it's nice because the bridge itself is actually free right now and relatively easy to get across. So,
you know, I saw KDP saying earlier that we have 10 bridges, that lead into Pulse Chain that are active and working, which I was not aware that there were that, I was not aware there were that many, but, she
maybe said she made it up. I don't know. Maybe she might be desperate for clicks. I don't know.
Maybe, but I doubt it.
Yeah, she gets like 700 likes a tweet, so I don't think so. But yeah, right. I don't know of 10. I know of a couple anyway, but
yeah.
How to investigate that later. Investigate that maybe. Yeah, so let's get into this. So I'm not too worried about this story, but I do want to hear what you have to say, Ewok. We've talked about it in private a little bit. So there's been some efforts this weekend. Hey, shout out, obviously not that he, you know, needs our approval, but Gary Woods, Funding Jim, in one of those kind of mastermind groups or whatever, some Twitter space with the Cardones the other day where you kind of get to step up and pitch something. And I think he has a history with at least Gary Cardone, maybe Grant too, I don't know. But he talked about Hex and Paul's Chain in there the other day and made a nice elevator pitch and intrigued at least Gary. Grant, I don't know if he actually has any interest in crypto. It doesn't really seem like he totally does, but
I don't think so.
But nonetheless, I mean, he did talk to those guys and, you know, Funding Jim has been the guy that has been the bridge crosser of bridge crossers, really, you know? And I saw him, did you see the stream with, Lit is back the, yeah, he was just on the other day with Funding Jim and, RG3. It was a really good stream actually. And, Gary was just talking about like kind of pitching those guys and he put his money where his mouth is and basically said that he would match with his own investment, whatever they put in, which was really cool. But anyway, do you think that could then we see today like confirmation supposedly that a like Gary Cardone .eth, I don't know,
right.
address like bridges into Paul's chain, unless somebody just like named something that I don't know, but it seemed like it was verifiably like linked to one of his other accounts. I didn't get to the bottom of it, but do you think it is legit and what do you make of it? Because I certainly love like doing the bridge crossing thing and getting people outside of our ecosystem in. I think that's awesome. And I love that it's happening, but I also don't want to, you know, we're not necessarily waiting with bated breath for like, you know, appealing to authority of other people to get into the ecosystem, you know?
Right. Right.
But I hope he's in and I hope he likes it. But yeah, what do you make of it?
Yeah, exactly the same. I think it's him. I think it's, you know, very, unless somebody went through the major, you know, story of buying, first of all, buying the .eth address And then they must have had a lot of money because I think they put either $1 or $2 million over. I think it was $2 million by using that one protocol that I hadn't heard of before. It just kind of it takes away a lot of the risk by sending it in different transactions a little bit safer. But yeah, the only thing you have to worry about is when guys like this kind of come in, they're going to look for a profit a lot sooner. You know, him and his brother are all about 10X. If they can get a 10X, they're happy. They're not going to stick around. Well, maybe. I shouldn't say that. I'm not going to judge before it happens. But historically, people like that will, you know, they'll take a gain and they'll get right back out. So until he becomes a believer, which I'll believe when I see. But, you know, as far as that goes, it's just another investor. How solid of an investor, you know, will they stick through thick and thin? Probably not.
So, got a lot of money, though. I mean, there's a lot they of have money. There.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, all it's going to do is provide a green candle going up and a big red candle coming down. So, you know, that's just one of the things that you know, if you're going to ask for big money to come in, prepare to see it go right back out after they've made some profits. So, you know, it's not like we have a bunch of when there's a big whale sell, how it divides it up into a much larger group of holders. You know, it spreads it out across the network, you know, which is nice. But well, again, time will tell. I think it's exciting. I think it's exciting for guys like that who have the reach. You know, they do have a very big network. And if they have a good time, they're probably going to tell their friends, hey, guys, you should come over here and check this out. Gas fees are nothing. There's all these people building. It's basically a self-funded community that has done all this without the grants, without the VC backing and things like that. They dig that kind of thing. So hopefully it works out in that way where just the word of mouth itself can, you know, expand to some other heavy hitters that do become largely involved. You know what I mean? That's kind of what we need instead of a jump in and jump out kind of group.
I'm with you 100%. Yeah, it could spread like wildfire if you know it, because it's not just you know, it's not like it would just end with the Cardones. I mean, like they obviously have a wide network as well. And if they trust Gary and they, you know, see, I think a lot with a lot of these business guys, you know, that have the history they do and run great businesses and everything, when they see a guy like Richard Hart and get familiar with him and see the way they act, I think that they see that, like, this is a guy that I want to align myself with, contrary to what a lot of, like, I don't know, virtue signaling crypto Twitter says, where it's like, oh, this guy's obviously a scammer and all this stuff. I think real businessmen that are authentic and everything are able to see the forest through the trees with a guy like Richard Hart, and actually it appeals to them, you know. And that includes a guy like Donald Trump himself with, B-Roots going to Mar-a-Lago and everything and pitching him on Pulse Chain and everything before. You know, we could be looking at the next president of the United States, you know, potentially knowing something about Pulse Chain and watching some new Trump NFTs on him. So, yeah, we'll wait for those. Cool. Yeah, Trump Ramaswamy 2024. Could be interesting. I as I'm looking on Twitter, it's like that union is forming right now, it seems like. So I'm sure much to the delight of many out there. So things are looking good there for the Cardones. We're happy to see them into the ecosystem if they truly are. And even if they're not, hey, we'd love to have you guys aboard. I think you'd like the product. So how about RH today too? So he was in the midst of tweeting today. It's so good to have the old RH back. It's so good to have old Richard back, or back at all, you know, when he wasn't tweeting as much. But how about this tweet today where he full-blown just, I'm going to be careful with my words here. Maybe not support. I guess support is the word. But told haters to start shorting HEX on FAME and fiat. And said that, you know, these aren't my products. Like, I don't have anything to do with them, which he doesn't. But awesome that he actually acknowledged them. We've talked about it before. He will not put his name on anything. He will not co-sign any product. And he shits on almost every product. So for him to do that, I saw Buck tweeted about it then later today, obviously feeling very good about it, and understandably so, I would too. What do you make of that? You know, just I love seeing him out there again like that, just going after the haters. And many people were doing that. Like, hey, put your money where your mouth is. Like, oh, you bitches want to come out and talk about this ecosystem right now and what a joke it is and this guy's a scammer and all this stuff, but you won't actually come and short it then. Because you know, because you're, you know, you don't really care. It's just engagement for your Twitter, and those guys' case. So yeah, what do you make of just kind of having the old RH back? Maybe not streaming as much anyway for now, but also kind of co-signing Fame and Fiat here.
Yeah, I think he needs to be really careful about live streaming, especially maybe creating some videos that he can go over and, you know, make sure he doesn't say something the wrong way, or that it doesn't come off the wrong way. But yeah, I love the fact that the old RH is back tweeting rare form, you know, saying, here we go. You know, put your money where your mouth is if you, or shut up. One of the two,
yeah.
You know, basically, right. Yeah, I like it. I like the challenges. And then the engagement that it gets too. You know, you've got some of these other guys coming out. I forget who, Gordon.
He's been all over it. He's been slobbing the knob for a while.
Here. He has been our biggest supporter, whether he knows it or not. He's trying to shit on it, but he's getting a lot of eyes on us. So, you know, you even love that. Some of the bad acknowledgements that we get still gets eyes. You know, it can't hurt. So the free advertisement goes a long way. We appreciate it. And, but to have the old Richard back, it's very reassuring, to see the money coming over, from certain addresses that we don't know who controls, and support the network set levels. You know, you see liquidity going in at certain levels to support a price so that if there is a pullback, it doesn't pull back too far. That's always a nice thing to see. And the green candles, man, it definitely gets people in a good mood. I haven't seen a whole lot of infighting, a little bit here and there. I think you're going to have that.
Never going to go away.
It's never going to go away. The bigger this community gets, the more personalities that we're going to have, that are going to disagree. And, you know, sitting behind a keyboard, they're going to have words. And unfortunately, I think that's something that we'll never get away from, but yeah, it's good. It's good to have the old feel back. Definitely. Very positive.
Yeah. Yeah. Just saw a really funny pic of Trump and Vivek on Twitter. There's just a lot of real funny stuff happening between those guys on Twitter right now. But yes, very good to have him back. It is feeling good for sure. I tell you what, let's kind of wrap up with this because I think it'll be a decent sized conversation. And we've been talking about wanting to get into this a little bit for a while. And I don't know how many people are going to want to hear it or how many people it's going to reach, I guess. But that's kind of getting back to getting back to good hex staking behaviors. And will people, obviously everybody's focused on Pulse Chain. People are focused on Pulse X, the DEX, and rightfully so. They just pumped the shit out of themselves for the last couple of weeks here. But in terms of kind of more longer term thinking with crypto, we're seeing different kind of attitudes towards staking hex or staking anything really long term. You know, I think just because of how horrible this past bear market was across really all of crypto, not just hex or this ecosystem or anything. And it is making people a little gun shy to do that. And we aren't flat out, we just aren't seeing a lot of channels. You know, before all they would have ever talked about would be hex or hex staking ladders, that we saw that so much in past even bull markets. You know, that's what the channels of these streamers were dedicated to. And now that we have this big ecosystem, we're just not hearing as much about it, save for like maybe the Crispy Man content. I know he talks a lot about hex staking and is a great resource for that. But what do you think, Ewok? I mean, you are somebody who is a day one hexican. You know, you understood the value in staking from the get-go, even if you didn't necessarily set them up the right way from day one. But no, you understood it. You understood it. You understood the delaying of gratification that Richard preached so much. And that's really where you come from. You know, a lot of us here right now are more Pulsekins, Pulsexekins, not Hexekins. So, yeah, how do you think we maybe get that show, shift focused back on staking Hex and a little bit of a long-term time horizon for people? And how could Hex Scout, which is now the new de facto Hex staking ladder kind of scout, I guess, it's the main thing to really look at since Staker app is going to be kind of no more, not really supported. But how do you go about that? And what do you make of that as your tool to monitor stakes?
Well, I think the big thing that we have to get through to people is the T-shares and their ever decreasing supply. It's going to be so hard to acquire them down the road. Even the long stakers now are going to have a hard time getting, after a 5555, especially, they're never going to be able to get that position back ever. Just not enough hex to do it by that time. So getting them now and locking them in, I would never, ever suggest putting your whole bag out that far. It's just not worth it. One of the strategies that Axis talks about a lot is taking a bag of your hex and doing it for 30, 45 days or something like that, and then taking those rewards and punting them out, right? Put them out 15 years and just keep doing that and take those rewards each time and put it out 15 years. That's a good strategy. Because again, for what it's worth, who wouldn't do, something like that just to see what it's worth in 15 years? Nobody would have ever imagined in 15 years that Bitcoin would have gone to 65,000, right? What if Hex does several $100 each, $1,000 each? What if it goes over that, 5,000, 10,000? I know it seems crazy and it sounds like a long shot, but there are so many similarities between Hex and Ethereum as far as the, it's Pulse and Ethereum. Either way, it doesn't, these things could do crazy things. So for taking a chance like that, if you are a little bit of a degen, it's definitely worth that type of lottery ticket rather than buying a bunch of crap and hoping, they go crazy. Getting into something like this that has a depreciating system like the shares, working on your staking ladder, even if you don't use Hex Scout, what I do recommend, though, is always starting longest and work your way back. If you have a chance to create some sort of ladder. Now, be careful. Don't go too small with them because, there are going to be times in the cycle where if you do a stake that's too small, it could be more to end the stake on Ethereum side than it is on the Pulse side. So I do recommend if you're going to do shorter stuff, definitely do it on Pulse Chain side where it's a lot cheaper right now. At least you can play with smaller amounts. But at the same time, Ethereum's what, seven years old? How old is Ethereum? 8 years now, right?
Yeah.
So in 8 years, Pulse Chain's gas fees could be that high too. it's a chance that we have to take to see that these things, but if they are worth a couple hundred bucks a piece and you've got 1,000 of them or 2,000 of them, that could definitely be well worth it. Anyway, Patrick asked if starting 10 years out is long enough. It's all personal. I mean, it all really depends on number one, how old you are. And number two, what's your outlook? For me, I'm still putting stuff out 15 years. Every month I put a new one out. I will always have a 15 year stake coming out for the next 15 years as of right now. Just put one out today. So, but I would definitely put one 15 years. You will never get that 5 years between 10 and 15, where you lock that rate in is going to be where you see the biggest gains, because that period of time is where the majority of these other ones will be ending. Therefore, you end up with more piece of the pie, and it just, that's where the returns really compound. It's a, it's an automatic compounding effect of the share rate going up and the T-shares coming down. So it really compounds. You would be surprised in the difference of returns from 10 years to 15 years. Sure, mm-hmm. If that's what you want to do, it's long enough, but I would recommend that everybody have a 555. I think it's going to be, you know, it's just another reason to stick around. It's one of the reasons why this community has solidified itself so much, is because there are so many people that are staked for 15 years, and we're here. We're here with each other. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We're not going anywhere. Right. It's one of the strongest things about this community is, you know, we're going to be here. We have commitment to be here, and definitely not going to, at least for 7.5, right? Worst case scenario.
Yeah.
You can unstake it at the halfway point and get your principal back. You would lose all of your interest or your yield that you've earned, but you could at least get your principal back. So, there is something to be said for those extra 5 years. And again, good habits. Talk to some other people who have ladders. If they give you some insight, that'd be great. But you know, Hex Scout does have that tool that will do it for you. And you know, take advantage of it or work your way at it slowly. You know, even if you do every 5 years, do three of them. And then work your way long and fill those in as you can. But I do recommend, you know, even if it's one a year, it definitely may be worth it for you. And then put your bigger ones out, you know, try and time it. If you really can time the 4 year cycle and you know, all right, let's shoot for 2025 and then let's shoot for 2029. And then, you know, every 4 years, thinking that you may time it, the cycle could get extended. It could really, you know, throw you off. That's why I recommend doing it a little bit more often, mm-hmm. if possible, because that way you're not stuck at one point. You could miss everything if you only do it one, you know, yearly. So, yeah, there's just a lot of systems that are out there. Go back and watch some of the old Crypto Coffee videos. I know Hexo made one about staking ladders. There are
Miguel a lot has of some good ones. Dollar Miguel, Cost Crypto. Miguel has some decent ones. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a bunch of them out there. People just aren't talking about it because I feel like they thought they got left behind. But really, I think what happened was they saved themselves from selling. With some of the mentality that I saw in this bear market, people that were staked were okay being staked, right? People that had liquid were really sweating it out. I think a lot of them capitulated. So we always say, you know, you save yourself from yourself when you're staked and you're earning yield every single day. For me, I didn't have to DCA a whole lot because I have a lot staked out. I was earning more every day during that. So that was my DCA, especially in Hex. You know, I did DCA into some other things, but for Hex, I've been earning more every single day. So, you know, I didn't have to focus as much DCAing there as I did some of the other things that I wanted to participate in. So
final question for me on that, because I'm curious about this. Devil's advocate might say, well, you know, that's good for you, Ewok, because, you know, you, kudos to you, you were like a day one Hexican and all this. So you have T-shares that I, not me, but I mean, this example, you have T-shares that I couldn't even attain right now, you know, and that's, I'm just not going to be able to do that. Well, that may be true. I mean, maybe they won't be able to get that amount of T-shares. I would want to know, like, do you have a guideline or a number of T-shares that you would think somebody should try to attain right now? Since we know that that's really the engine behind the staking. It's not just buying Hex, but staking it out long enough with the Hex you have to attain more T-shares. Is there like an amount that you would want to shoot for?
Well, I mean, start slow or start small. Start with 100. Try and get 100 t-shirts. I think that's a definitely an amount you can accomplish. You know, start there, build it up, get those. Once you get those, you would be surprised once you start getting them staked out and you start to see the rewards coming back, you're going to start to accumulate hex a lot quicker. I went back and looked at my portfolio and where I started the first year. And I didn't have a whole lot. It wasn't until I started staking out long and earning a lot more that my number really started to go up. And that number is going to be the same for everybody's T-shares as we move forward. And it's going to get better. You know, right now you're getting so many hex per T-share. As the T-shares dwindle down in the amount, that number goes up. I think they said it doubles about every 2.5 years. So right now we're about, 6.5 to 7 between there. So in 2.5 years, we could be almost at 12 or 14. So, you know, you're really going to start to add them on, and then you have that rate locked in for a longer period of time when people's stakes that maybe only have them set for 6 or 7 years, they start to end, which means now they've got to spend even more hex to get ahead of you in earning and get those T-shares back. So start small. Start with a number that is attainable. Shoot for it. Once you get there, you can change your goal or change your a different staking ladder. Like, for example, if you can do, 5 T-shares a quarter or something like that. Start there, work your way back, get as many as you can. And next thing you know, you'll be earning more and more and more where, you know, you have options. Again, you could use the Axis one too, is if you do have a bunch, stake it for 30 days, take those rewards, put them out, see what they get you. And repeat, do that every month. It's not gonna hurt to do that, and you know, punt them out for a while.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got
a dog stuff. Yeah, I could tell we had a dog situation. But that's the thing, and that's the thing we want people to understand, is that the T-share is really the most valuable thing. Like, I mean, obviously you need to buy the hex to get T-shares, but it's also how long you're staking it out to get the extra T-shares. And I know for myself, we lost Ewok for a moment, but I know for myself, like, as I was going through creating a staking ladder, I started by going annual, and I started by going out with the longest, and then by nature of them being the longest, the smaller stakes first. So like the ones I put out for 15, 14, 13 down to 10 years or whatever, maybe were a little bit smaller in amount of T-shares. And then I would make them larger T-shares as I kind of got to more recent times they would be coming out. But I started out just having one a year. And then you pick a date for that and make it the same date every year if you want to. Then I started doing 2 a year. And I think I saw somebody, Patrick, you said in the chat, I eventually got to a place where I had them quarterly. So I just basically pretty much quarterly. And then I also just, you know, at the bottom of this bear market, just staked a shit ton admittedly trying to time like getting towards the top of this bull market too.
Sure.
So I have some of that happening too, but I'm also out there in the long game as well. So to each his own, but I do think a ladder, so you kind of cover all your bets, is really the best way to go, you know?
Yep, I agree. And everyone's going to be different. There's just... like I said, there's many different strategies out there, whatever you can do. T-share today is 310, says Patrick. I think on, and that's the difference between, what is it, Hex Daily Stats? The difference between Ethereum and Pulse Chain, too, is they're a lot cheaper. On Ethereum, it costs a little bit more. So you're looking at T-share price $312 on Ethereum, $524 on Pulse Chain. So, you know, yes, while Ethereum is the better price, to get a T-share, the gas is a little bit more. So,
yeah,
you know, take it for, take it for what it's worth. If you're going to do shorter rolling stakes, though, I definitely recommend doing it on Pulse Chain. Peel the yield and then punt that out for a couple. Do that for a couple months. See what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, that way, if you catch a theme here, it's basically like just try to cover all your tracks. I mean, try to do everything. You know, there's a lot of game theory, and you know, why not just do all of them at once? Is kind of how we've approached it, I think. So, yeah, but good stuff. Appreciate your thoughts and questions on that too, Patrick. And I think it is something that we will see more and more people that are streaming kind of about Pulse Chain as we get deeper into the bull market and stuff. I think we will see a revisitation of talking about hex, talking about staking behaviors and things like that. So yeah. good stuff. Sorry, did you have a comment there?
No, I was just gonna point out what we always talk about. And I hope people get back to hex too. It is the protocol that has the, you know, the design features that aren't existing anywhere else. You know, there's layer ones galore. There's exchanges out there. There are other tokens, but hex truly is the difference maker. Pulse was built to make hex better. Remember right. that. That's why Richard created it. So, you know, I do hope people do eventually see the value in it and hope that, you know, they get something out of it to eliminate people from trying to get yield in the wrong places. And realize what the protocol is: decentralized, trustless yield. You know, nobody does it better than hex.
Yeah, it's like you say in our intro there. Shout out to you, Moon Lambo. If that's real, good for you. I mean, we definitely have had quite a pump, even though we're nowhere near the end of this bull market. It has been substantial. So if you were stacking high on the way down, then kudos to you. Wrap it up here real quick. Just last thing here. So you and I participated in the Guinness Book of World Records largest live stream ever. The most streamers on one live stream over the weekend. That was what, Saturday, for the Hex conference had already been over, but Maddie Allen orchestrated this event. We had what, like 4, 5, 6 different groups of, I don't even know how many people in each one. And we were all on stream simultaneously. Not necessarily talking about anything crazy, but just giving small thoughts on hex and things like that. Just as a to say that we could do it, you know, just to say that this ecosystem was able to do that and orchestrate something that large on a random Saturday with not even that many days notice, quite frankly.
Right.
Just another awesome feather in the cap that, you know, what other community in crypto are you going to see do something like that? I challenge you to find one that will. I mean, I know you're not going to be able to, but I mean, yeah, I mean, hex. This ecosystem, Pulse Chain, just the fact that that Maddie's able to do that. And again, I know we just constantly sing his praises, but I mean, it's deservedly so. He pulled off an amazing hex conference. Yeah. And then pulling that off the other day, we were in a group with what, Walrus from Liquid Loans. And, I'm forgetting people. He was the most notable one probably in there anyway. But, yeah, we just had, so many people there. And it's just so cool to see that many people coming together just in a Saturday afternoon, just for an hour to get something like that done. What do you make of that? I mean, again, it's just a cool thing to be a part of. And, you know, even when bags are down as they had been for so long in this bear market, it's things like that, I think, that really keep these people together and the long-term staking, like you alluded to, Ewok. So yeah, what did you think about our experience doing that?
Yeah, it was fun. It was really fun. It was cool to just kind of chill out with a bunch of people and wait our turn to talk. And then once it was my turn, obviously I had the big blunder and my switched my mic somehow. I don't know how I got to the wrong mic, but
Walrus also skipped you over at first. He skipped you and five other people over.
He did, and I don't think he realized there was 2 pages of people. So he went through the people on his screen, but each one, so it was like a Zoom call combined into 5 of them on one screen. That's how we got all the people on the screen at one time. And there were multiple pages of people within the Zoom. So I think that's how he missed us the first time. And yeah, it was pretty cool. Again, you know, it's just one more, like you said, feather in the cap to this community and the things that we can do when we put our minds to it. So people that are underestimating the Richard Hart ecosystem, I feel bad. I mean, we can scream from the rooftops and try to sing praises, but the people that just don't get it aren't going to get it. So,
yeah,
I feel bad. I do feel truly bad for people, you know, but it's cool to be a part of that and to make history and see who tries to beat it. I don't know if it's official yet or if there was anything that would really come of it to be in the Guinness Book of World Records. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know.
But again, to say we were a part of it and to just hang out with some cool hexagons even in the afternoon for a little while was cool in itself, let alone be a part of that.
Totally agree. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if we're going to get actually in the publication in the book, but if it even is a book anymore, I don't know. But either way, it was an awesome experience. Just great to have all those people together. So yeah, I loved it as well. So, and we'll probably have more stuff like that coming here as the bull market does, continue. So, hey, we want to shout out everybody in the chat. Thank you all for being here tonight. Great show. Tin Top, Patrick, Moon Lambo. First time seeing Patrick here tonight. He was in there a lot. Marco, who's addicted to Icosa apparently. yeah, we got small, smart decisions, a lot of good people, Roger B, a lot of good people in here. So, hey, we appreciate all of you guys. A lot of new names. So if you haven't been with us before, we, and, you know, as this ecosystem goes up, we imagine we will get more viewers and increase subs, as will everybody streaming in this ecosystem. So we do this every single Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And yeah, we appreciate all you guys being here. So like the video. We appreciate it. Subscribe to the channel as well. We appreciate all of you guys. So for Crypto Ewok, this has been Broke Boy Crypto. We'll catch you guys right here next week on the Creed of Crypto podcast. We'll see you guys.